Growing up in a small town does have some interesting quirks. In the little town where we lived in Wisconsin, you never really had to try out for sports in school. The size of the school was such that if you wanted to play, you were on the team. And there was a good chance that if a coach or a teacher stayed long enough, there may be a chance to coach or teach some of their former students' kids. Sometimes they would even be able to tell who the parents were by looking at the child. Amy went to that school in our little town most of her school year, age years, with the exception of maybe kindergarten and first grade. She has three sisters, one older, two younger. They all attended the same school and had many of the same teachers. And the four of them, the four sisters, look very much alike. This similarity has passed down to their children also. My oldest daughter, Heather, and Amy's sister, Mary's daughter, Maureen, look like sisters. They both have the Miller traits. It was so prevalent that when Heather entered into kindergarten, the teacher knew right away that she was a Miller girl. Of course, my daughter denied it as she knew that her last name wasn't Miller, but it was Thoe. But the teacher could see what my daughter couldn't. There was no mistaking what family she came from. Who a child looks like is a question you hear quite frequently, especially with newborn babies and even into the toddler years. As soon as the baby is born, you can see the grandparents studying their little face, trying to discern if they look like mom or dad, grandma or grandpa. Sometimes they even drag out their old photo albums and they compare baby pictures. Oh, he looks so much like his dad when he was a baby, or she has her mother's eyes. I see the Miller traits in my youngest son Aaron's children. I see my oldest son Michael in his son Jameson. The Miller traits seem to have skipped Heather's children. All of them look like their dad, Craig. That may not be good news for granddaughter Adeline, but she sure is cute now. Time does not always bear out our predictions, however. Things change, faces change. Children whom we thought looked like this relative or that parent take on different characteristics as the days come and go and their bodies mature. Sometimes it's easy to see the face of the future in our children. Other times, it's hidden, with only glimpses of what will be revealed. Sometimes we don't even recognize ourselves when we look in the mirror. That old man we see in the mirror doesn't reflect how we feel inside. How did we get this old? Where did the time go? What does the future really look like? Our epistle from 1 John for today helps us see what the future holds. Behold, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. The future holds Jesus. When you see him, you see your future. And it's enough just to see Jesus. When you see him, you see your future. And it is enough to see Jesus. When you see him, you'll know what you will be. In John 14:8, Philip asks to see the Father. Jesus insists that if he has seen Jesus, he has seen enough. Philip has seen the Father and the Son and the Son and the Father. Philip has seen all he needs. The question then, I suppose, is who do you look like? Not physically, but spiritually. When we are born, we spiritually look like our father, the devil. The fall in the garden has caused this mutation in our spiritual DNA so that the tests reveal that we have lost the image of our Heavenly Father. In the Gospel of John, Jesus tells the rebellious Jews that their father and his father are not the same. To their claim that they are Abraham's children, Jesus replies, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works of your father." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." John chapter 8, verses 39 to 47. Also, Peter, in his sermon before the men of Israel, recorded in Acts 3, says this, "God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you, by turning every one of you from your wickedness." Verse 26. Born spiritually dead, we are unable to effect any change in us. We are unable to help ourselves. God sent Jesus to die for our sins, and through his atoning death on the cross, we are forgiven and reconciled to the Father. Through baptism, God adopts us into his family. And through the means of grace, word, and sacrament ministry, the Holy Spirit begins then to mold us and shape us to look more like him, to look like Jesus. We still wrestle with our corrupt DNA. We still have our sinful nature. But the Holy Spirit strengthens us and empowers us to fight that sinfulness that lies deep inside of us so that we look, sound, and act more like Jesus every day. And that gives us hope. And it is enough to have that hope within us. We don't have to see everything as it will be or know now what will be then. If you have Jesus, you have enough. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is the firstborn of the dead and the one who models what we shall be. He is the glorious one in whom we have hope while we live in this world that's still tainted by sin and death. If you have Jesus, you have enough. So who do you look like? I see some of Amy and I in our kids and some of our kids in our grandkids. But I'm not really asking you about physical characteristics, am I? Who do you look like spiritually? I hope you look like your Father, your Heavenly Father, the one who created the world and all that is in it, the Father who foreknew that mankind was going to fall, who knew that our spiritual DNA would become damaged in that fall, God who sent his son to be a sacrifice for us and raised him from the dead for us, adopts us as his children. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. When parents bring a new child into the family, everyone wants to know who he or she will look like. We already know the only answer that counts. We shall be like Jesus. We may not see it yet, but that doesn't mean that it's not well underway. For now, it's enough to know that we are God's children by baptism and the faith given to us. It is our calling to wait for the rest to be revealed to us when Jesus returns. For we know that we shall be as he is. Our future is dependent on Christ, is tied to Christ, and is revealed in Christ. He will transform our lowly bodies to become like his glorious body. He will lay to rest finally every doubt or fear that troubles us and our lives as Christians. He will finish molding our lives so that the work will be done and complete for all eternity. Finally, we shall see ourselves as God sees us, and that is the gift of Christ for all. Amen.